You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
So what do you make of China's rise, its human rights record, its role in the U.S. presidential campaign? You heard Jonathan Fenby weigh in. You weigh in at 877-8MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Let's ask this question. What is the long game the U.S. can play to counter the seemingly unstoppable rise of China? One theory suggests that we often put our resources into the wrong things to generate jobs and long-term prosperity in America. There is no investment except in people, according to this notion. The smart money in economic development does not go to new airports and hotels and power grids and Olympic stadiums. It goes to attracting people. But our political rhetoric from both parties suggests that what we really need to do is to stop people at the borders who want to leave. We have to plug the leaks of jobs leaving the U.S. We have to contain and punish companies for outsourcing U.S. jobs, protect our borders from immigrant labor and competition from Asia and elsewhere. Our next guest believes that what we should be focusing on is why jobs are leaving the U.S., why the U.S. has declined as a destination for top-trained, high-tech workers. Vivek Wadhwa is the author of The Immigrant Exodus, Why America is Losing the Global Race to Capture Entrepreneurial Talent. Vivek, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on, John.
So in line with what Jonathan Fenby was saying, what can the U.S. do to regain this destination reputation for high tech and entrepreneurship?
You know, what people don't realize is that we're on the verge of a major technological era of breakthroughs. Right now, with 3D printing, robotics, artificial intelligence, we have the ability to re-automate manufacturing and beat China its own game. It's very conceivable by the end of this decade, manufacturing will come back to the U.S. like never before because it's cheaper to manufacture here, that it'll become a local industry. There are many other innovations that can change the face of America, give it back its strength, make it the undisputed world leader. Except to make this happen, we need great people. And the difficult thing right now is that we're sending them away. We're educating the world's best and brightest. We bring them here to our best universities. We let them work for our companies. And then we say, look, sorry, we don't have enough visas for you. Go back and compete with us.
Now, is that an experience that you had in the U.S.? And does that begin to motivate and inform your interest in this issue?
John, when I came here in 1980, it took me about a year and a half to get a green card, a permanent resident visa. It was easy as anything. I became an American citizen. I started talking like an American, thinking like an American, being an American from the day I got my permanent resident visa. Today, if I was coming in, it would take me 15, 20 years possibly to get that. In the meantime, I'd be stuck in a lousy job that I hated. I'd be unhappy with America. And more likely than not, I would leave and go to another country that really wanted me.
Let's listen to the political rhetoric on this subject from the presidential candidates, first Mitt Romney and then Barack Obama.
We have to make America the most attractive place for entrepreneurs, for people who want to expand a business. That's what brings jobs in.
I want high-wage, high-skill jobs. That's why we have to emphasize manufacturing. That's why we have to invest in advanced manufacturing. That's why we've got to make sure that we've got the best science and research in the world.
Vivek Wadhwa, they seem to be taking this idea seriously. Do you hear anything in either of the presidential candidates' programs or anticipated programs that would actually address the issues you're talking about?
They both agree on the need for skilled immigrants. They say exactly the same things. But when it comes time to agreeing and passing legislation, they start fighting like spoiled brats. That's the best way of describing it, that they simply find small reasons to disagree with each other and nothing ever happens. The result is that people are bolting from this country. They're leaving this country in droves, and they're making India and China more competitive. We could be using this force to improve our innovation, to improve our economy, to start tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of new companies here, which would now change the face of America again and make it another, you know, get it back to complete economic health and recovery.
All right. So what will we do very specifically? I mean, obviously there are some visa restriction issues that you would change immediately. But in terms of creating financial incentives, banking incentives, financing incentives, competing directly with China and India with their obstacles to doing business that are unique to those countries, what should we do over the next 2 to 5 years?
You know, here's the funny thing, that all we have to do is expand the number of visas available. Right now, we bring in 140,000 skilled workers. bring in 400,000 skilled workers, perhaps. Just a double or triple the number, and the problem fixes itself. Right now, people want to come to America. Entrepreneurs from all over the world would rather come and start their companies here, bring their savings with them over here, bring their innovation and ideas with them over here than anywhere else in the world. They want to come here. We're just not letting them. It's that simple, John.
Do you believe that a robotic Foxconn factory could be set up on U.S. shores to basically do what that plant that manufactures everything that Apple produces does with a huge number of laborers?
You know, a few weeks ago, a company called Rethink Robotics announced a product called Baxter. It's a robot that has two arms. It has a screen as a face. It can be programmed by anyone within a day to do human-like chores. The robot costs $22,000. Now, take an army of those robots, and they can do what the Chinese labor are doing in assembling phones. It just needs to be evolved a little bit more. The technology can be perfected. Within a year or two, we could be doing all of that work in the United States.
Vivek Wadhwa is the author of The Immigrant Exodus, Why America is Losing the Global Race to Capture Entrepreneurial Talent. We got you anyway, Vivek. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We want to get your take on anything you hear on the program. The story that we did earlier this week about Indiana Republican Senate candidate Richard Murdoch's remarks on rape have sparked a lot of discussion on our website. Of course, you guys love to talk. Ed from Larchmont weighed in. What Mr. Murdoch said is exactly correct. It was not God's will that the rape take place, of course, but a child cannot be conceived without the will of God, writes Ed. God creates the soul from nothing at the instant of conception, so the conception is allowed by God. It's part of God's will. But Dana from South Wellfleet, Massachusetts, gave us a call.
This is hardly the first time a GOP candidate has made an outrageous remark about women and rape and what it is and, you know, and how it can be a positive thing or just relax and enjoy it. You know, they've been all over the map with this. I think this just implicates Republicans as really not caring about women's issues and women's rights and not even respecting women as citizens.
You know how to reach us.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.